Okay, so welcome, everybody. My name is David, and I am one of the facilitators for the Reflective Listening Buddies program, and I'll be facilitating today's training call. There is only one real logistical piece of information that I think would be pretty relevant to pass along at this point, and that is, and many of you know this, but we'll go through it just in case there's some new folks on the call. If you would like to speak up at any point, whether that's to participate in one of the exercises we're doing or to ask a question, to do that, since everybody is muted currently, you'll need to press *6 on your phone. And when you press *6, that will unmute your line, and it takes a couple moments until you're unmuted, and then you'll be able to speak. And what we ask is, after you're done speaking, if you would go ahead and press *6 again, which will then remute your line, and we'll be able to keep background noise down to a minimum because, as you've heard, we do have quite a few folks on the call today. So that's the logistical piece of things. So why don't we go ahead and just jump right in and with a centering exercise to kind of get us all here. So folks, we'll just go ahead and relax into whatever seated position you're in right now. And go ahead and take a couple of nice deep breaths. And as you're taking these deep breaths, if you would see what arises for you in conscious, compassionate awareness in response to these two questions. What brought you to the program? Why do Reflective Listening Buddies? So what brought you to the program? And why do Reflective Listening Buddies? Okay, so if that has arisen for you or dropped in for you, if a few folks would like to let us know what they're seeing with that, this would be a good time. And again, you press *6 to unmute yourself if you'd like to let us know what you've seen.
This is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. What brought me to the program was I wanted to deepen my practice, and why do reflective listening? It does deepen my practice, and it is an opportunity to be present for myself and for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So what brought you to the program was wanting to deepen your practice, and Reflective Listening Buddies does offer that opportunity to deepen your practice. And it sounds like another key piece of that there, which is a really great point, which is that it brings you into that place of being present for another.
Yes, exactly.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
This is Patty.
Hey, Patty.
Hi. So I just wanted to add that that reflective listening for me is a great way to see what conditioning gets in the way of my being present, particularly in communication and interacting with other people.
Mm-hmm. So kind of using Reflective Listening Buddies as an assistant, really, to assist you in seeing what gets in the way of you being present, specifically with communication, it sounds like, with other people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And would you be willing to say a little bit more about kind of how that does assist you, like what aspect of it kind of supports you in that?
Well, it's just, it becomes very, because of the structure of the program where the way it's set up with, you know, my partner simply reflecting what I'm saying and not having kind of a conventional conversation, It becomes very obvious what is conditioning, like what is the what am I projecting, and what are the standards that I'm bringing to it, and all those sorts of things that conditioning does on a daily basis that maybe I don't notice in a conventional interaction.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? That's a really nice way to state it. So in a conventional interaction, there is it's kind of a different feel, whereas in this structure, I think what you're pointing at is what, because our buddy is not adding anything to what we're saying, there's nothing kind of coming back, we're really left with that place to be able to see very clearly kind of what is conditioning and what isn't, in the sense of kind of we get to see the projections, we get to see the standards. So it's a structure that supports us in really being able to really see everything that takes us out of being present.
Yeah. It's a very clean mirror.
That's a great image, a very clean mirror.
And this is Jen Y.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
Yes, Jen.
Yes, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if that last interaction was finished there. I kind of along those lines, I really appreciate the way that reflective listening seems to just always expose conditioning's lies. You know, there'll be stories of how I'm not feeling clear enough, centered enough, I'm too busy, it's not a good time for the call, you know, all that kind of stuff. But because, again, of that structure, we just show up and there's another person there that I want to show up for, I get to disprove all of those stories that conditioning is trying to put out there.
Yeah, it really points us back to the structure and supporting us in really not having to listen to whatever story is going on from conditioning, you know, whether it's don't have enough time, you know, I don't want to, whatever it is, we get to actually show up for another person, as a way of really showing up for ourselves as well. And as you said, it's just a really supportive structure.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
This is Penny.
Hey, Penny.
Two things that came up for me were one, when I'm the person reflecting, it really allows me to listen in a way that sometimes in regular conversations I don't.
Mm-hmm. It allows you to listen in ways that sometimes in regular conversations or other conversations that you don't.
Yeah, and it's the value of the structure, because often it is true that in regular conversations, what I'm doing as I'm listening is formulating my response, but there is no response in collective listening. So
yeah.
The only thing I have to do is listen.
Yeah, that's fun. I bet a lot of people can relate to that. So in a lot of conversations that we're usually having, so, you know, somebody is talking and we're sitting there, presumably listening, but as you're pointing at, kind of what's happening is that a response is being formulated. Whereas in this structure, what's happening is the person may be talking and you're simply there listening, because there is no response that's required.
Right. And the other thing that came up for me was, I so often find when I'm being reflected that the reflection causes me to go much farther into understanding or insight or seeing things than I ever do when I'm looking at something simply in my own head.
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? So there you are on the call, and what you're getting to do is speak about whatever is going on for you, and the idea of having it just not be in your head, looking at it from that perspective, but having it said out loud and then reflected back to you, not with any kind of advice, or there's nothing coming back with it. It's just the pure reflection coming back. And what that allows you to see are different insights with it, different ways of seeing what was going on. And really, I'm projecting here, but I suspect really getting to hear yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I just realized I catch myself a lot of times on reflective listening calls saying, oh, wow, I hadn't seen that. You know, as I'm being reflected, it's like, oh, as I hear you reflect that, what I see is, and I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't been reflected.
Yeah, 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 that's a really, that's neat, isn't it?
Yeah, thanks, David.
Thank you, Penny. Okay, well, that was really great. I think most of the main points were covered there in terms of, you know, what draws us to Reflective Listening Buddies and kind of why do the program. So thank you for everybody who just participated and spoke up there. So I think what will be, that's a kind of a great jumping off point for us to perhaps have a demonstration of reflective listening. So if there are two volunteers who would be willing to demonstrate what reflective listening means, anybody willing for that?
Catherine volunteers.
Thank you, Catherine. And since you're the first to volunteer, would you like to be the listener or the speaker?
I will listen.
You will listen. Great. Okay. So do we have somebody who is willing to speak?
David, this is Anne.
Anne. Okay, great. Super. Okay, so Anne will be speaking and Catherine will be doing the reflecting or the listening. And we're going to do about only about 2 minutes. And I'd ask Anne if you would, as the speaker, if you would perhaps speak in, you know, shorter blips, not long paragraphs, just so we
okay.
get a sense of the reflective listening process. And then at the end of the 2 minutes, I'm just going to jump in and I'll jump in and let you know that we're good to go.
Okay. You ready for me, Catherine?
I am.
All right. Well, I have been having a wonderful practice opportunity practicing with the reading for group for next week. I think it's called The Huber Cure, about being sick.
So you're having a wonderful practice opportunity with the reading for group next week, The Huber Cure.
Yes, because I got a flu or a bug or something last Tuesday, and the reading came through, I think, on Friday. So I've really been practicing with lying, letting my body heal and not entertaining the voices. Sherry talks about not entertaining the voices. And so I've really been practicing breathing and being with my body and actually actively thanking my body for going through the process of healing.
Mm-hmm. So not listening to the voices. And actively thanking your body for going through the healing process.
Yes, so it's been a wonderful, I've just been very grateful for having something so concrete to practice with in such a timely fashion. It came just in time for my sickness.
Yeah, I guess so you're feeling really grateful for having this timely opportunity that came at such a great time in your practice when you caught this flu.
Yes, and I watch how it really is true that the mind, at least for me, when I'm lying, not doing anything, the mind tends to go into worry or depression or, you know, it tends to fall off the cliff, as it were. And so it's been really wonderful to watch that from a place of disidentification and practice coming back to the breath.
Mm-hmm. So watching the mind's tendency to kind of go off the cliff and then just coming back to the breath.
Yeah. And
excellent. I'm going to jump in here and thank both of you. I think that's a really great, great example. So thank you, Anne, and thank you, Catherine.
Sure.
Okay, so what did folks notice about the reflective listening?
Hi, this is Lori.
Yes, Lori.
Hey there. Well, I noticed a number of things. One of them is how you seemed to be able to follow by not having very long sentences, just having a few sentences and then pausing so that Catherine could reflect That certainly helps me a lot to not have to reflect back a lot of material.
Yeah, so kind of noticing that the speaker was still able to kind of look at and express everything they wanted to be expressed, but was doing it in a way that was done in shorter sentences, such that the listener could actually really hear what was going on and have a chance to reflect it.
Yes. Yeah, and then there was a couple times when there was words, Catherine, I think, kind of took some of the words, not all, literally all of the words, but maybe took several of the words out of a sentence and gave back the words that were given, but just kind of in a shorter form. And so that was really nice, too, for me even just to listen to it, because it's kind of like getting the high points or the words that stood out, it seemed like.
Yeah, that's so it, isn't it? Because it's not like the listener was giving a summary, you know, kind of using her own words and giving a summary. What she was doing, as you're pointing at, was that she was actually using the speaker's words, and yet she wasn't necessarily using all of the words. She was using the words that, you know, obviously arose for her, that she heard and was able to give back the places that I guess, I'm hesitant to use key points, but some of the more salient points that were made, and she was able to do it, however, using the speaker's words.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lori. What else did folks notice about the demonstration?
This is Dan S.
Hey.
I was noticing a lot of projections arising, and since I can't say anything, it was very easy to let them go. Whereas other times, you know, these sort of conditioned upwellings feel like, oh, they have to be said, but no, it's just, let that, you know, see it, and it goes away because there's nothing to do with it.
So you're speaking from the perspective that if you're kind of watching the projections arise, if you were the listener, that there would be things that you might want to add in other conversations, but because all that we're doing here is reflecting, it's an easier process to just see those projections arise and then just let them go.
Exactly. It feels like a weight coming off.
It feels like a what coming off, sorry?
A weight coming off.
A weight, yeah. Yeah, that you can, kind of a weight coming off, that feeling of, I'm having this image of just like a relaxation, kind of relaxing into the process and just being there and recognizing that, you know, on one level, you know, conditioning would want to have a standard, you know, and kind of have us, you know, we have to reflect it, you know, quote unquote, perfectly and say every single word back. And yet what I think you're pointing at, or what I'm hearing and what you're saying, is that in actual fact, you know, we can just simply drop any projections that are arising. And at the same time, there isn't even a requirement to reflect back every single word that comes from the other person. You know, we can just simply reflect back if we catch like the last sentence or even the last few words, that even that is absolutely fine.
Yeah, that was a trap for me in a previous quarter, as a standard crept in that I wasn't reflecting well enough. And when I say it out loud like that, you know, it's silly. But it was a trap for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, when we say it out loud like that, as you say, it sounds so ridiculous that, you know, conditioning would be able to get away with holding us to a standard of kind of what reflective listening is supposed to look like, and kind of what standard we're supposed to reach, ideas of it being like a perfect way to do it. It really does become a little absurd.
So thank you.
Great, thank you.
This is Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi. What I notice with the reflective listening conversation, it always seems soothingly slow, and it just gives so much time for the speaker to get out what they're saying that it's kind of calming.
Mm-hmm. So soothingly slow, and there's always enough time for the speaker to get out what they're wanting to say, and it's very calm.
Yeah, and when I experience the reflective listening buddy calls, that's a huge difference I notice between that type of conversation and other ones that I might have, because I always know that the reflective listening buddy will not interrupt me, and I'll be able to. I don't have to get all hyped up to kind of get my thought out, because I know I won't be interrupted. I'll be just listened to.
Yeah, that's really, I hadn't actually looked at it from that perspective before, but that's great, isn't it? It kind of speaks to that place of relaxation that was just talked about, because not only as a listener, but I think you're looking at it from the perspective as the speaker, mm-hmm. that they're knowing that all that you're going to receive back is this person listening to you and giving the same words back. There doesn't have to be that scrambling of like preparing to be cut off, or, you know, got to get that point in that I really want to make, but I'm almost, you know, convinced that I'm going to get cut short here or whatever. But
yeah,
calm in a soothing place to be able to, you know, take the time to simply express what wants to come up.
Yeah, and I think it really fosters the place where so that things can bubble up that might not otherwise be able to.
Yeah, yeah. That it creates an environment, it creates the space for things to bubble up that otherwise might not have been able to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. And that's great. Thank you, folks. That seems really wonderful. So, okay, the next thing that we're going to do now is I'm going to invite Rebecca to share some of the call logistics for us.
Yeah, so here's a very brief summary of how the program works. So everyone who has registered and is participating has hopefully read the program guidelines and is aware of the commitments that you're making as part of participating in the program. The commitment document was emailed to you as part of the registration process. So there were a few little glitches with the website and registration process this quarter that we haven't ever really experienced before. So I want to just take a moment during this call and say, if there's anyone who experienced one of those glitches and did not get the commitment form sent to you, hopefully it's not a lot of people, but let's try to get your names now, and we'll email that to you. So if you would hit *6 if you were not sent that when you registered, we'll get your name and send that to you.
Yeah, Ilona F.
Okay, Ilona.
This is Amy C. I don't think I received the commitments.
Okay, Amy.
Laura B.
Laura, thank you.
Cameron S. I didn't receive the commitments, and I didn't receive the phone number either. So
we'll check you out on all fronts, Cameron.
Yeah, it might be that I was remembering my registration from a previous quarter and didn't even get the payment part made or something. I don't know what happened.
Okay, we'll look into it.
Okay.
Rebecca, this is Andy. I did not get them this time, but I have them for a previous time. If they haven't changed,
okay.
I can just
That's
use
okay.
those.
We can send it to you. That's all right.
Okay.
Zoe L.
I'm sorry? Oh, Zoe? Okay.
Zoe, yeah, I don't think I got them.
Okay.
Mary T.
Mary?
Lois V.
Oh, Melissa? Was it Melissa?
Lois V.
Oh, Lois. Lois, got it. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. So if it turns out that
Phil D.
Oh, Phil. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Got it. if you hang up and realize, oh, no, I didn't, then just email us at reflection@livingcompassion.org, and we'll be happy to send it to you. All right, so here are some of the logistics of the program. So buddies meet weekly for half an hour for one quarter, a three-month period of time, and each person has 15 minutes to speak, and then while the other person reflects. So the calls last a combined total of 30 minutes. Email your buddy within the first week of the quarter to arrange your call times, and then note who will be making the call each week, and please plan to alternate who makes the call each week. The caller, the person who places the call, will be the first one to share. It's always good to make a note of that in your calendar or whatever. I call, I share first. My buddy calls, they share first. Both people should be conscious and aware of the timing, you know, the time. However, the listener is responsible for watching the time and notifying the speaker after 15 minutes have passed. And it's and setting a timer is recommended. So we ask people to make you're making a commitment to really being responsible and, you know, taking responsibility for one's practice and to really make the commitment to be on the scheduled call, to be on time, and to be fully present. So therefore, you know, you wouldn't do a call while you're driving or while you're out taking a walk or anything else like that. It's a time to really you know, be able to give the call your full attention. If you miss a call, you know, you forget or whatever, you miss the call, you do not reschedule it. If you know in advance, however, that you cannot make a call, then let your buddy know through email or text at least 24 hours in advance. And in that case, you can make arrangements to reschedule the call. And please only schedule one call per week. You know, you having so much fun with Reflective Listening Buddy that you want to do two calls a week. No, we're a one call a week, you know, program. There's a support call that will happen roughly each month throughout the quarter, three over the course of the quarter. And this is a chance to share what's coming up for you in the program. And attendance on at least one of the support calls per quarter is a program requirement. So, you know, some of you may be returning after having been out of the program for a while, but so this is a new, actually a reinstated kind of requirement for Reflective Listening Buddies is to be on one support call at least. And the calls are not recorded, so we don't send out links or anything should you miss it. Any
Great.
Questions about any of the logistics?
Rebecca, this is Sridevi. I had a question.
Okay.
You had mentioned that the listener should be the person timing the call.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have suggested guidance of if the speaker, like, goes past the 15 minutes, do you interject at that time? Do you allow them to complete, reflect them back, and then let them know? Or what would the guidance be around that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting place, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So setting a timer is what's recommended, but really it's something to look at for yourself. And I say that not to defer. It's not like, you know, there's, you know, but it really is something that you would want to practice with. I could say, here's the answer. But what we're really going for in the program is to see what arises. So if it happens, you might try interrupting and see what comes up of that. If it happens again, try not interrupting. See what happens, what comes up for you about that. And look, use that very question as a way to look at what conditioning might make that mean or, you know, whatever.
Great. Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. Thanks, David. I think that's all.
Okay, super.
great. Thank you, Rebecca. That was very helpful. And just to give a heads up for folks, you know, there's no need to kind of memorize any of this stuff right now. This all the information on the call logistics, as well as what will be shared, will come after this, will be in the guidelines document that you have. And so there'll be a chance to review that. And if you do have questions throughout the quarter, you're going to have a contact facilitator that you'll be able to check in with. So great. So thank you, Rebecca. And now I'd like to invite Karen to help us with some of the communication tips for the program.
Thanks, David. Can you hear me okay?
Can hear you loud and clear.
Great. Okay. So this is just some communication tips. So we address all communications, questions about guidelines, questions about the program, et cetera, to the facilitator that you're assigned to. And the email address of your facilitator is going to be on your buddy assignment email. And we ask that you do not communicate with your buddy about anything other than your call scheduling. If you have any issues with your buddy, if anything comes up, we ask that you please contact your facilitator. And we ask that you please email your facilitator if you'll be away for more than 3 weeks so we can arrange a sub-buddy for your partner. And you can send a process mail at the end of each call if you wish to share what is going on for you or what you're noticing about your practice. And you can send that to your assigned facilitator. And this needs to be 50 words or less. And you're required to send an email at the end of the quarter reporting on how you kept the program commitments that you made. Yeah, I think that's all, David.
Okay. And were there anybody have any questions on that?
This is Brian.
Yes, Brian.
Yeah, does the 50-word guideline apply to the end of the quarter process email, or is that just for each week for the call?
Well, that's a great question. It for sure applies to the end of, applies to after each call. And in terms of the end of quarter process note that we ask folks to send in. I want to, just before I put out any information that's not so, I want to check in here with my fellow facilitators, perhaps Rebecca. I don't think we have a word limit on this particular one. Is that your understanding at this point?
Yeah, that's right. We don't have a word limit on the final one.
Yeah. So there is a place to practice with that, Brian, of course, in the sense that, you know, there is no 50-word limit on that. And at the same time, it's one of those places to look to see, you know, if I ended up, you know, writing a short novel, it might not be exactly what we're aiming for either. So just to bring some mindfulness to it, and there isn't a 50-word limit on that one.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, super. Well, let's move on to guidelines and maintaining a privileged environment. And for that, I'd like to invite Lynette to share with us.
Okay. You can hear me, David?
I can hear you. Great, Lynette.
Okay, great. So I'm going to give some information about maintaining the privileged environment. And this program is really an opportunity to practice the privileged environment. We get to be present. There's no preparation required. We get to hold the space where we can attend to our inner workings and do that work of going beyond egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. So this means that we come together only to practice reflective listening. The call is not an opportunity for social interaction. We reflect our body. We don't comment on what they're saying, offer advice, coaching, or tips about how to solve their problems. And the call should be conducted in a place where other people won't overhear the conversation. And this is to preserve the privacy and the confidentiality of the call. And it's fine to record your own voice when you're sharing or speaking, but please do not record any part of the call if you're on a speakerphone. We do not interact with our buddies outside the scheduled call time. And we maintain complete confidentiality. Self-hate is not allowed to be on the call.
Great. Thank you, Lynette.
Thank you, David.
And is there any questions on that last section about guidelines and maintaining the privileged environment or anything at all that I kind of want to open it up at this point if anybody has any questions? Okay. Well, super. And again, just to reiterate, you know, all of the information that was passed along today, you can find that information in the guidelines and requirements document. And I think even on the website, there's a link to a Reflective Listening Buddies workbook, and that's a really, really helpful resource for information. And throughout the course of the quarter, if things do come up, you know, you're encouraged for sure to, you know, contact your facilitator and check in on whatever it is that's arising. So I think that's pretty much our call for the day. There's a couple things before we close, however. One is that I just want to remind folks, and I do want to double check again just to make sure that I have this date right, but it's my understanding that the commitment emails that you'll send back, committing to the guidelines and requirements for the program, that those are due back on October 9th. Does that sound right, gang?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So, so if you can have those in by October 9th. And then the other date, October 15th, is when your partner, your buddy assignments will be sent out. So you'll receive an email. It'll have the email address and the name of your buddy. And also included in that email will be your facilitator's email address, the person, the facilitator you'll contact for any questions or anything that arises throughout the quarter. So, and that will be sent out on the 15th. Okay, so before we all hang up today, just in case anybody joined the call late, I'm going to attempt to unmute everybody, and then so folks can have a chance to let us know if they did join the call late. So when I do unmute folks, if I'd ask folks before everybody starts hanging up really quick, it can make a whole lot of noise. So if you just hang tight with us and we can get other people's names, sometimes the unmute doesn't always work. And if that's the case, we'll look at doing star six. But hold on one moment. Okay, I think that worked. So is there anybody who joined the call late that we can take your name down for attending?
This is Rebecca S.M.
Rebecca S.M. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thanks.
Chris P.L.
Thank you, Chris. Anybody else? Okay, super. And just as a heads up too, if you are on the call and for whatever reason you're having trouble speaking or you know you're saying your name and I'm not hearing you, you can always email after this call to the Reflection account, reflection@livingcompassion.org, and just let us know that you're on the call and that for whatever reason you weren't able to be heard. So, okay, great. Well, thank you everybody. Thank you for participating in the call, and we're looking forward to another quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies. Thank you.